Okay. It's a bit chilly this morning, isn't it? I was holding off on putting the cardi on for about the first half hour, and I had to relent and give in. But if you're freezing, you want to go and start a little fire up at the back or something, you know, start burning a few books to keep warm, that's probably okay. Summer Sundays. Okay, so this morning we're looking at this passage about the Valley of Dry Bones, which is quite a famous passage. A lot of you have probably read it or heard it a lot of times. Some people maybe have never heard it. So we're going to read it. Just to put it in a little tiny bit of context, Ezekiel was a Jewish priest who had been taken off to Babylon when the Israelites had their city basically destroyed because they didn't obey God, and they were carried off to exile in this land called Babylon. Their hope is dwindling away. Their city, which used to be amazing, is lying in ruins, and hope is thin on the ground. So I'm just going to read Ezekiel 37. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me around among the old dry bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says: Look, I'm going to breathe into you and make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke these words just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as they had been before. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bodies, then skin formed over to cover their bodies, but they had still no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak to the winds and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again.' So I spoke as he commanded me, and the wind entered the bodies as they began to breathe. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army of them. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Now give them this message from the sovereign Lord. O my people, I will open up your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You will see that I have done everything just as I promised. I, the Lord, have spoken." So, quite a stirring passage. And I sort of felt like I didn't just want to, whenever I read that, it sort of stirred some things in me, and I thought, gosh, I don't just want to jump in with a sort of devotional approach to Ezekiel 37, whenever there's so much history and so much context that it's actually happening in. But as I read and tried to get to grips with what was actually going on, I sort of realized that although this is a picture for Israel, at this time, that they're coming back, God is going to bring them back into their land, that it's actually something that is fulfilled kind of in the present, but it's something that's going to be fulfilled in the long term. It's like almost like a picture of the end of time. And it's not just for this nation of Israel, but it's actually a picture for the church with a capital C. It's our story as well, that God is going to bring us to life again, and that God's going to come and raise the dead and all this kind of stuff that we see in, I think it's Thessalonians, that God talks about, you know, the dead will be raised, the trumpet will sound, this type of thing. So there's a sort of, there's lots of different ways you can interpret this passage. But I just felt like this morning I wanted to focus on how we live in that now, like what this means to us now. There's a lot in this passage. When I was writing some notes on it, I just kept writing life, 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 life. This is about life, this passage. And, you know, I was looking at Genesis, Genesis 2, when it says, Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." So in a way, there's definitely, you see something of breath right from the beginning of God, breathing life into man. And then again, God is breathing into this army. And it's actually the same word for breath and spirit that's used in the Hebrew. Flip the neck. It's hard to... and I have a baby as well. I think when I start thinking about life, I don't know about you, but my mind sort of wanders into what does life look like for me. And it's easy to start thinking about the American dream, you know, the house, the family, the perfect job, security, all these sort of things that we think of when we're thinking about life. And I think everybody wants life. But I think what I'm realizing is that the world's view of life and our and God's view of life are two very different things. And sometimes, obviously, that seems very apparent and obvious, but other times, I think it actually can be quite subtle. Another analogy we have is living life to the max. So getting as much experience as we can, traveling and seeing the world and adventure. And not that those things are wrong or anything, but as I was preparing this, I felt God was sort of helping me redefine what life really is from his point of view. So my question is, what does that life look like that God wants to breathe into dry bones, that God is wanting to breathe into us as a church? What does that life look like? Because I think if we can start to identify what life looks like, then I think that it really helps us sort of focus our lives a bit more. Another passage I've been thinking about recently is this verse, this line that Jesus said, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it." And I think it's just a crazy concept that we give up our lives to find it. It really turns everything on its head. And it sounds almost easy, but it's actually... I think when you get into it, it's so complex. Let's have a little think about that. Let's set this here. For me, here are a few aspects of God working in me that I feel is bringing me closer to life rather than moving in the opposite way. The first thing is trust. I think for me, trusting in God that life is not necessarily going to be easy, but that he's going to be with us, with me, is a massive step for me moving towards life, because I think one of the things that we cling to is a sense of, you know, I'm not sure that it's going to be okay if we throw everything to the wind. So trust is a big element, I think, for every believer in walking into the life that God has for us. I think it's very hard to walk into God's life without trust. I think that's a huge one. Another thing is space. In the midst of busy diaries, creating time to be free, just for spontaneous things, for somebody to call in at the house, or for to be called out at a, for an emergency for somebody, or just creating space in our diaries, I think is really, really getting increasingly more difficult. There's so many things we can go to in church and socially and with our friends and family, that just having space is one of those things that I think, when I think of life, I think that God gives us space. And not just space in our time and our diaries, but also space in our finances. Trying to create a little bit of space, not consuming everything that we earn, to have a little bit of space to give something that we weren't expecting to, or to go somewhere that we weren't expecting to. So space has been a big thing as I've been thinking about life. Also willingness. I think one of the barriers to life of God sometimes is a sense of, again, I'm not really willing to embark on this journey that we have, whether it's putting down roots where you are, or being willing to move on somewhere else. So willingness for me has been something that I've been really thinking about. Humility and courage to build honest relationships, to let people see us for who we are, to move forward towards community rather than independence. Again, life is available for us, but there's something in us that wants to cling to security, that wants to make ourselves more comfortable, that wants to that's subtly moving us away from the life that God has for us. And to tap into this life-giving breath, I think we've got to break out of the world's systems in our thinking, in our desires, and embark on this journey of trusting God and letting Him lead us. There's a verse in John 3, verse 8. It says, "So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak." Reading from the Message. "You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it is headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God." So as we're thinking about life coming through the breath of God, I was just thinking, it sounds quite exciting, quite a wild, like the wind, way to live. Do I feel like that every day? No. But it still inspires me to position myself in a way that I want to be like that. I want to be free to be moved like the wind, wherever God would take me. Another thing about life and breath is that when in this passage, whenever he's giving the word, God says, "Look, I'm going to breathe into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin." And that's what God is saying to Ezekiel: "Speak to these bones, speak to the dry bones." So God doesn't actually speak it himself. He gets Ezekiel to speak it. And one thing that really struck me about that was that God wants us to be a part of calling out this life in other people, that he doesn't want to just do it. It's not just something that God just does, that he's called us to be a part of this life-giving breath, to speak things into being. And I just thought that's it sort of inspired me to think I can be a part of that life-giving breath of God. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says that the tongue brings healing. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Sorry. Ruby just gave me a cracker before I came up here. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So there's something in our words that we can be a tree of life to people, bring healing to people. Also, I think, apart from just the words that we use and the way that we speak, there's something in this, obviously, about prayer and prophecy. And it's a bit like, the song Chris was singing this morning. Generally, I think sometimes we come to pray, we're not actually sure what we're supposed to be praying. And we don't feel like it. But there's something I find that when you keep going, or when you get with a few other people that are there with you, as you pray, you actually can start to think things and to pray things that we weren't expecting, and declaring things almost. So I just find that as we come. You know, as you look at this passage and you see God inviting Ezekiel to speak this stuff out, obviously we're not all prophets like Ezekiel, but as we come and start to pray, I actually believe that God will give us something in our hearts to speak out, which is life and truth for people. And I've just been finding that recently. Like Malky and I have been getting together a bit to pray, and often, we'll chat for like an hour and then start praying. And it's amazing how when you've been having like good, honest conversations, that you can start to feel like there's a place for like speaking out over your friends and speaking truth and praying for them. And whereas, when you get together at the beginning, it's the last thing on your mind. Building honest relationships with people that you care about, and bringing those relationships to God and being willing to speak out and pray, I think is really, something that's really profoundly impacting me at the moment. Another thing that I was thinking of this, as the breath of God comes, there's something else of life flowing out of God and through us into other people. It's like the picture I had was like the streams of living waters. And I found this verse in John 7, which says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from the heart of anyone who believes in me." So as we've come to life in God, like everyone here who's a believer has something in him or her that, this Jesus is saying, rivers of living water will flow from the heart of anyone who believes in me. So there are already, there's living water in us, there's breath of God in us, and sometimes I think we just need to get to a place where we let it come out, and acknowledging that we're thirsty and that we need to come to God and drink, and these rivers of living water will flow. It was something we were praying as a leadership team one day up in one of the classrooms, I just had this picture of us as a church. And it was like streams. I just had this sense of people being like streams of living water. So people getting fired up and having energy to go out, be themselves. And that was like streams of living water to the community, to Edinburgh. And that just inspires me that we would be a church where there's energy and passion and hope, not a bunch of burnt out, obligated, overburdened, busy people that don't really want to get involved, but actually we're being fired up by each other. We're getting creative. We're doing more stuff together, and we're actually seeing life and flowing out of this place. That sounds like the kingdom to me. I think how else does it work itself out? I think one of the things that we were praying about 2 weeks ago, I can't really remember the context, but Rupert told me to pray for somebody, and I was praying. I just really felt strongly that God was doing something of creativity in that person and breathing life and creativity into them. And I just got reminded of this. I think somebody put a talk of Bill Johnson's on the church website, talking about creativity and stuff. And I had to listen to it, and it reminded me of this passage, which is in Exodus 31. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in he's skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and carving in wood. He is a master at every craft.'" This is one of I think this is actually the first person that gets filled with the Spirit of God, the breath of God. And what happens? It's creative. God gives wisdom and ability and creativity. And I really feel like that's something that we're doing at the minute in church, and that we're moving towards. For me, the arts, whatever it was called, arts fair, craft fair weekend, wasn't just about showing off and getting people into the church. It was actually about the sense of this is like a center of creativity, and there's look at all the things that God is doing and inspiring in people, and hopefully people come in and get inspired by that and come and say, look at that church, look at all the creativity that's coming out of that place. It's amazing. So not just creativity, in the arts, things like music. When we had Johnny Parks here, he was talking about, they were talking about songwriting and where there'd been blockages and people writing songs to try and release that into people to write songs again, that we need that. And that's one of the things God wants to do, is he breathes into us again. Business, like people starting businesses, people getting wisdom in business and how to run businesses and that kind of thing, I think is really key. And in the Bill Johnson talk, he talks about education and how the education or schools are coming to their church and saying, come on, will you show us how to do this? Like, I think they were mentoring some of the teachers or something. And I just thought that's a fantastic way of the Holy Spirit coming and touching communities and flowing out of what, you know, of the church. And even though God's maybe not breathing into those people directly, he's touching them through the life that comes through us. I think really just to sum up, I feel like the main verse for me is, look, I'm going to breathe into you and make you live again. That God would breathe life into us, that he would give us hope, and that he would deepen our understanding of what that life is. I think maybe like what we can do just now is to think a little bit about what that life looks like. I just feel like this is an encouraging word that God today wants to just speak life and encouragement into us again. And that means different things for different people. But if you just take one thing this morning, of God, what is it for me that you want to reinvigorate in my life? How can you bring more? How can I tap into that life that you have for me? How can I receive that breath? Are there any blockages that I can get rid of? So I can move forward into your life. Can you change my direction and move me more in the direction of what your life is? That's it.
I wonder if the band could just come up. I've really enjoyed just listening to Colin there, just lifting our eyes to the possibilities of what can happen when we connect and stay connected, deeply connect to the source of life that is Jesus. And sometimes that can be quite an ethereal or very spiritual kind of thing. But actually, Colin's really rooted it into life that would flow in us but out. So I just think it would be good. We've got 25 minutes or so. I wonder if we could stand and if we could we gather round? Could we clear some of these chairs? Just first two or three rows and just gather around the front here. Sorry if that removes your comfort zone a little bit, if I've just taken your chairs away. That's enough chairs. That's great. Let's just gather around in this front area just here. Come on, gather in. I have showered this morning. The band all smell nice. Look pretty. Well, apart from David, but come on, let's gather in. Let's gather around. Come on. We're hanging back. Thanks, Chris. Let's gather right in. Be good just to take some minutes just to wait on the Holy Spirit. Wait on God. Allow him to speak to you. Continue to speak to you, to me. Maybe some words of what Colin said just resonating in your heart. In a minute, maybe we'll pray. We'll pray together. Colin was talking about prayer and that life, speak out life, or we might pray for one another. But I just want us to always continually keep in mind that as we seek this life, it is life that is to be released. It's life to flow. It's not some self-indulgent, you know, time where we just kind of feel good about ourselves. But it's about stirring, igniting something. God stirring and igniting something in us that would bring life out there. Come on, God. Yes, God. Let's just worship a bit.